This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by panorama and then our feature of culture and society. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to young people. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Thursday met with a group of scientists, urging them in his speech to harmonize faith and science in their pursuit of truth. He emphasized the fact that these two both stem from God's absolute truth and should therefore serve humanity. Francesca Mello has this report.
Pope Francis warmly welcomed all the scientists present by paying homage to Archbishop Georges Lemaître, to whom the scientist conference was dedicated. He noted that the scientific value of the Belgian priests and cosmologists had been recognized by the International Astronomical Union, which he noted has decided that the well-known Hubble law should more appropriately be called the Hubble-Lemaître law. As the scientists gathered to debate the latest questions posed by scientific research in cosmology, Pope Francis assured them that the Church is attentive to such research and promotes it because it shakes the sensitivity and intelligence of the men and women of our time. He went on to highlight that the beginning of the universe, its ultimate evolution, and the profound structure of space and time confront human beings with a frantic search for meaning in a vast scenario where they risk losing themselves. He noted that through Psalms, amongst other things, it becomes clear that these themes have a particular relevance for theology, philosophy, science, and also for spiritual life. Georges Lemaître, Pope Francis continued, was an exemplary priest and scientist whose human life and spiritual journey represents a model of life from which we can all learn, as he understood that science and faith follow two different and parallel paths between which there is no conflict. In fact, Pope Francis continued, these paths can harmonize with each other because both science and faith, for a believer, have the same matrix in the absolute truth of God. Bringing his address to a close, Pope Francis invited the scientists present to continue to confront each other in a loyal and humble spirit on the issues they are discussing. May the freedom and lack of conditioning which you are experiencing in this conference help you to progress in your fields towards the truth, which is surely an emanation of the charity of God. I'm Francesca Merlo.
20th June is World Refugee Day. This international day is organized every year by the United Nations in order to celebrate and honor refugees from around the world. The event aims to recognize the strength of the refugees who have fled the conflict and persecution of their country in hope of finding sanctuary and living a better life. Ugandan-born Bishop Joseph Mary Kizito is the ordinary of the Diocese of Diwali in South Africa and doubles as the liaison officer of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Southern Africa. Commenting on the United Nations World Refugee Day, Bishop Kizito told Vatican Radio that taking care of refugees is everyone's responsibility.
We need to recognize the resilience of the migrants and refugees, these men and women and children who have been forced by circumstances to get on the move, to save their life, to look for a better life. So on this day, we, the global world, we are together, United Nations, standing together to look at these men and women and the children, especially the children who are on the move. This is a national crisis, is a national, international, global problem that people are on the move. I would also like to bring my great warm greetings to the different organizations, churches, non-government organizations with the people on the move to give them hope. So I would like really to say thank you on this day.
Ugandan-born Bishop Joseph Mary Kizito there, talking to Vatican Radio about the United Nations World Refugee Day and the importance of taking care of refugees. Ahead of the United Nations World Refugee Day observance June 2024, Pope Francis sent out a message in which he emphasized his exhortation to the faithful and the international community, summarized in four words of welcoming, promoting, accompanying, and integrating refugees into mainstream society. And writing in his Twitter message on World Refugee Day, Pope Francis said that the faces and the eyes of refugees beg us to not look the other way, to not deny our common humanity, but to make their stories our stories, and to not forget their plight. Apart from the United Nations World Refugee Day, the Catholic Church observes a similar event for migrants and refugees sometime in September, for which the Holy Father has written a separate message. South Africa's Cardinal Fox Wilfrid Napier has sent out a strong message about the assault on the family. The family is facing the biggest and most serious crisis in the world today, Cardinal Napier has said, warning that attacks against the family seek to decimate procreation. He said this in his recent online presentation on the Synod on Synodality. His conversation observed the fact that the family hurts the most when attacks are waged on the marriage institution. He said that the biggest and most serious crisis in the world of today is precisely in the family, and this starts with the all-out attack on marriage, which is the basic and most fundamental element of human society. The South African cardinal said that the virtual event that brought together African theologians and experts who seek to deepen the understanding of the synthesis report of the Synod on Synodality ahead of the 2nd to 29th October 2024 session in Rome. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Riot police in Kenya fired tear gas and water cannons to disperse thousands of demonstrators in Nairobi on Thursday as coordinated marches took place across the country against government plans to raise $2.7 billion US in additional taxes to reduce the budget deficit. Protesters say the tax rises will hurt the economy and raise the cost of living for Kenyans who are already struggling to make ends meet. A Kenyan parliamentary panel on Tuesday urged the government to scrap some new taxes proposed in its finance bill, including new ones on car ownership, bread, cooking oil and financial transactions. Demonstrators in towns and cities, including Nyeri, Nakuru, Eldoret and Kisumu, called for lawmakers to drop the bill, which is currently being debated in parliament. The rights group Amnesty International said in a report on Wednesday that Egypt has carried out mass arrests and unlawful deportations of thousands of refugees fleeing the war in Sudan. The group said it had documented 12 incidents in which Egyptian authorities returned an estimated total of 800 Sudanese nationals between January and March this year without giving them the chance to claim asylum or challenge deportation decisions. South Africa's Democratic Alliance, or DA party, has suspended a newly sworn-in member of parliament after an old video of him calling for the killing of black people resurfaced on social media. A clip of a video resurfaced on social media platforms on Wednesday where the MP, Ronaldo Goes, who is white, could be seen and heard making the anti-black remarks. The 41-year-old is a former councillor in the Eastern Cape province. According to a BBC report, Mr. Goes initially insinuated one of the videos was doctored and denied it, but a statement issued by his party on Thursday said it was genuine and not a fake. The DA, which now forms part of the Government of National Unity, said on Thursday that Mr. Goes has been suspended from all political activities and will face disciplinary charges. South Africa's Human Rights Commission said it was taking him to court for alleged hate speech. In Malawi, the stepson of former President Peter Mutharika has been acquitted of all charges in a case in which he was accused of human trafficking and aggravated manslaughter. Tarikira Mafubza and seven other men were arrested in November 2022 after police said they were linked with the deaths of 29 suspected Ethiopian immigrants whose bodies were found in an unmarked mass grave. In October that year, police found a grave filled with dozens of bodies in a forest in the northern district of Mzimba, believed to be Ethiopian migrants being trafficked to South Africa. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyan Tagodufri Kampamba. The international community on 20th June celebrates the United Nations World Refugee Day. This international day is organized every year by the United Nations in order to celebrate and honor refugees from around the world. The day was first established on 20th June 2001 in recognition of the 50th anniversary of the 1951 Convention relating to the status of refugees. The event aims to recognize the strength of the refugees who have fled the conflict and persecution of their country in hope of finding sanctuary and living a better life. The day is seen as an opportunity for everyone to experience, understand, and celebrate the rich diversity of the communities of refugees. Even as the world celebrated this World Refugee Day, it is sad to note the fact that forced displacement is surging to historic new levels across the world. According to the 2020 flagship Global Trends Report by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, Mary Marker is from South Sudan and is the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees Goodwill Ambassador. Commemorating the World Refugee Day, Marker spoke to Pauline Batista from the United Nations News, explaining the importance of education and inclusion for refugees in order to ensure the emphasis of the United Nations about not leaving anyone behind, saying the mantra must become a reality, especially in refugee camps around the world.
My first question to you is, what is the significance of World Refugee Day to you, and why is it important, you think?
For me, I feel like World Refugee Day is a moment to recognize that displacement happens. You know, it's a moment to recognize the little Marys like me, you know, that had to leave their homes millions and millions of people and end up in refugee camps with probably 300 people. You know, that means people are lost within the way to come to refugee camps or to urban refugees, refugee settlements. And we get to live in these places waiting and hoping that the world is actually seeing that we have been displaced because of conflict, political persecutions, and all the other reasons that make people flee their home. For me, this day is really important because it reminds me that someone out there actually sees my story. To be seen and to feel seen is like a big part for me as a theater maker, right? And the day is a moment to feel acknowledged, is a moment to feel seen, is a moment for people to actually act and really realize that we have to end settlements, we have to end camps, we have to end wars, we have to end all the things that make people get displaced in the first place.
What does it mean to be a Goodwill Ambassador to you? I know you have a lot going on, right? You have your theater practice and you teach before classes.
Yes.
And there's a lot going on for you. You do a lot. So why does it matter? Like, why are you here giving your time to the United Nations?
As a child, I wanted to be represented. As a refugee, you know there's no government to speak up for you out there. And the moment I was given the chance to even be a Goodwill Ambassador, I was like, yes, 1,000,000%. Because for me, just growing up, I would see the UNHCR tracks with, like, you know, the hands on the track. And I'm like, I would feel safe. For me, it was a sign of safety. And as a refugee, to have my voice on the table really matters because, again, there's no way Mary will be able to speak for the 120 million displaced refugees around the world. Those are different stories. Mary is one story of the millions. And how can I ever fathom that reality? How can I ever make the world to fathom that reality, that this happens and that each story is unique? And I got out. That's even the, like, a crazy part, that I got out of the camp. so many don't get to get out. And as a goodwill ambassador, my work is to make sure people get out, right? And that we make the world aware that this shouldn't be normal. This should not be a reality. I think that's why I serve as a goodwill ambassador.
Absolutely. Yeah. Around 40% of all people are forced, you know, who are forced to flee are children.
Yep.
That is a wild number. And how do you think displacement is impacting young refugees, and how does that affect access to education, you would say?
Young people are the most impacted in any kind of war, because even right now, as I'm watching all the wars happening around the world, I'm seeing 25 years of struggle. I'm seeing more than that of you having to go through puberty in a refugee camp, of you having to struggle to find jobs and to find education in the camp. And education becomes this leeway that helps you to reimagine yourself, to, I love talking about the Maslow hierarchy of needs, to actually make it to self-actualize on the top of the pyramid. And for young people to get to that, education is a pathway. But let's not forget that education is a false promise sometimes, that it is, there is a dead end for so many refugees to ever access tertiary education, not even tertiary education, starting from primary level. For kids to be able to be enrolled in primary school is almost impossible. So how do you ever win as a refugee in this kind of situations, right? Think about it. I come from a big household, 17. So for the parent, my mighty mother, my mighty father that I know in other circumstances will be able to provide for me, do you think they're going to provide for the 17 kids? Right? And to have free education, to have pathways and access, keyword on access, access to education, and access means so much things. For a girl child, like, let's say, pads and tampons and cups are a part of our uniform. Like, how do I actually access education? It's not just like, okay, boom, I've built a school for you. Here's one teacher. Figure it out. Right? Education is a pathway for young people to rebuild themselves in refugee camps. And they are talented. They have so much to bring to the table. We have so much talent in the camp. And sometimes even some young people flee with degrees. Do countries ever see these degrees? Language is just one thing. They're proficient in other languages. Like, how do we ensure that we place systems in place so that if someone is coming from an Arabic-speaking country and they have fled to your country, can you still certify them? Because that degree did not disappear all of a sudden.
Yep.
Right? Young people are yearning. They have hope. But hope also diminishes over time.
Yeah.
So really being careful with young people, that they can also become a menace if you know, if you don't create systems and if you don't open doors for them to actually see that they can succeed. So the whole narrative of like, you can make it is there, but we need people to come through to open those doors or those windows or whatever cracks we need to like open up for young people to actually rebuild themselves. And education is a big part. I don't know if I could get into it, like, but right now, if you look at the numbers, like, we are at 7%, not 7%, actually 6% of refugees worldwide are able to access tertiary education.
Talk to me about how your story and you graduating is connected to hope for other refugees all over.
Sorry, I always start with an anecdote to answer a question. I feel like growing up, I was always that talkative kid. That is like, I will get myself through anything, right? And for me to even maneuver through education was a big deal for me to make it to the end. My dad was always like, a degree is all that you need. And I know it was not an easy journey. It was a journey where I had to drop out to be able to take care of my younger sisters. It was a journey where I had to knock on doors on every high school to actually open doors for me to study. It was a journey of me having to crawl through windows because I did not have school fees to pay, right? So walking across that stage for me was a testament that it is possible. There's a dead end in the camps or like in refugee camps, but I could also be part of the 1%. I could also be part of the 6% that make it to tertiary education. But also many that even make it to tertiary education don't get to graduate because you're not just any normal kid on a campus ground. You are a refugee that is probably in a child-headed family that is paying school fees and other things for the kids around you. And so, like, for you to even graduate is almost impossible. And for me to have pushed through that, I hope it creates a ripple effect, not just in the camp where I grew up, but around the world, that as a refugee, you have as much right as possible to also graduate, to also apply for jobs, to also be employed, to also contribute to the society and the community at large. So,
South Sudanese-born United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees Goodwill Ambassador Mary Marker, speaking there to Pauline Batista of the United Nations News about the importance of education and inclusion for refugees, she was speaking to observe the United Nations World Refugee Day 2024. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, you can hear about initiatives to help pupils stay in school in Somalia with help from TROCARE, the official overseas development agency of the Catholic Church in Ireland. Mahamud Hirmoge is the education project manager for TROCARE in the Horn of Africa nation. He was among the participants at the recently held conference for leaders of Catholic education in Africa and Madagascar, hosted by South Africa. He spoke about some of the challenges facing students, especially young girls in Somalia, during the conference, and later shared his thoughts in an interview on the sidelines of the meeting.
One of the major issues we struggle with in education service delivery in Somalia is the education of the girl child, right from access to retention to girls' participation and performance in schools. So we've had challenges making sure that girls come to school, transit to the next grade, and probably go to higher education levels. The girls' access is mainly inhibited by cultural and social negative norms that include female genital mutilation, the aspect of the girl child marriage, early marriage or forced marriage, and other negative cultural practices that end up either discouraging or stopping the girl from accessing school or leading to their ultimate dropout, which is one of the major issues we deal with as TROCARE's education program. The other issue that comes up as a challenge is issues to do with quality of education. There's never an existing an organized teacher training college that's run by the government in Somalia. So organizations like TROCARE are left with only capacitating teachers through ad hoc trainings and workshops. This compromises to a great deal the kind of quality learning and teaching that takes place in classrooms. So that's one of them. The second one is about lack of access to teaching and learning materials, what we call scholastic materials that would have facilitated proper and meaningful learning for the children in Somalia. We struggle with a lot in terms of financial constraints when it comes to purchase of these important teaching and learning materials, up to and including the construction of classrooms, the provision of other needs like school desks and teachers' tables and related stuff like chalks and blackboards and everything. So that is the other issue that we struggle with. And as a result, we're always behind the national or international standards as set by UNICEF. We have classrooms that are overcrowded, that have more than 50 in each school, especially in the urban schools. This compromising the quality learning. We have a desk issue where children would sit in four to five. An ideal desk would have actually been enough for about three of them. We have a teacher-pupil ratio, which I've already mentioned, that in a class of 50, there's one teacher serving, but ideal would have been 1 to 45. Issues to do with wash facilities, not enough latrines and wash facilities for both boys and girls, with the girls again bearing the biggest brunt when it comes to their dignity. We have parents who struggle buying food and other basic items for their children and therefore having nothing or very little to purchase for the girls' sanitary pads. So these are in total some of the major issues that children in Somalia face, and particularly girls. And as a result, as I have said initially, that in Somalia, the only people, the school-age children, it's only 31% of the school-age children attending schools. And out of that 31, again, girls are the most affected, with only 28% of that 31%. Education in Somalia is provided by mainly the non-state actors, as the government is weak in terms of its structure, in terms of its capacity. And you find most of the resources they get, though limited, again, goes back to issues of ensuring security as opposed to other social services like education. So Trokia, along with other partners, are forced to only work through an education cluster that keeps on working and providing education service only to a small margin, again, because of underfinancing by international donors and the fact that international donors also have other priorities that keep emerging, especially in the Middle East, the reasons being Ukraine and Palestine and you know, countries like Iraq and Syria, including Yemen. So we have always been having a donor fatigue or funds shrinking through the years, but again, the needs and the crisis in Somalia continues to increase.
That was Mahamud Himoge, the education project manager in Somalia for Trocare, the official overseas development agency of the Catholic Church in Ireland. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.